At the top of our program today, the U.S. Constitution makes clear that when people are accused of a crime, they have a right to a lawyer, even if they don't have the money to pay one. But for decades, public defenders in Michigan and other states have been raising concerns about how poorly low-income people are actually represented in court. In 2008, the National Legal Aid and Defender Association found that Michigan ranked 44th out of 50 states when it came to spending on public defense system. The statewide average was just $7.25 for each defendant. Now, in July of 2013, Governor Rick Snyder created the Michigan Indigent Defense Commission and charged it with creating minimum state standards for indigent defense. Earlier this month, the commission released its second draft of those standards. Here to talk about them is the commission's executive director, Jonathan Sachs. Jonathan, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
As well as Jim Fisher, who joins us. Jim is chair of the commission and a former chief judge of the Barry County Trial Court. Welcome, Jim Fisher.
Good morning, Mark. Glad to be with you.
Jonathan, I want to start with a bit of historical context here. This issue of adequate public defense systems in Michigan is not a new one. Back in 1975, fully 40 years ago, the Michigan Supreme Court Chief Justice Thomas Kavanaugh created a state bar committee charged with reviewing and making recommendations for indigent defense here in our state. Here we are 40 years later, and it seems like we're in largely the same position. Why has it taken so long to get traction on this issue?
It's correct, and the real reason is it's because it's always the lowest priority. Folks who cannot afford their own attorney, who are poor people facing a loss of liberty, they are in a desperate situation. But when it comes to government priorities for spending, it's often the last thing on the list. And even with all the action and movement in that direction, it's only we've only seen real movement with the establishment of our agency in the last few years.
Jim, you were also chair of the advisory committee that was tasked with evaluating the public defense system here in Michigan in 2011. What did you find were the most pressing problems in our indigent defense system?
Well, as the 2008 report indicated, we just don't have any uniformity across the state in terms of qualifications, training, evaluation, compensation, and resources, and so forth. That's a huge problem. The entire system has been underfunded for decades. I've been a lawyer for 39 years. As you indicated in your opening, the problem's been around for that long. The other problem we noted on the advisory commission was that getting accurate data about what we have across the state is a very tough issue. Something that was clearly beyond what a volunteer advisory commission could come up with. And so that was the reason our main recommendation was to create a permanent commission so that we would have the resources to do a thorough investigation before deciding what the best solution would be.
Jonathan, put the funding piece in context for us here as well. How is the public defense system in Michigan funded?
Michigan is county funded, and that's one of the serious, serious problems. In most states, either the state pays for the entire public defender system, or else it's some combination where the state pays a big chunk and the county pays a big chunk. What we're trying to do with the Michigan Indigent Defense Commission and what our statute mandates that we do is local systems working with us will come up with good plans to meet the standards we set, but then the state has to fund those plans. So the MIDC Act, the Michigan Indigent Defense Commission Act, is an effort to get the state to properly fund indigent defense in Michigan.
So, Jim Fisher, is this a case of getting quality representation depending on where you live?
I wouldn't say that. I would say it's sort of a hit or miss situation. There are many dedicated attorneys who represent indigent defendants at a fraction of what they would otherwise be compensated at. I've done it myself earlier in my career. They do it out of a sense of duty, out of a sense of dedication to the legal system and to their communities. So you can have very good attorneys representing poor people in criminal cases. Unfortunately, because the compensation situation, that doesn't happen in every case, to say the least.
Well, $7.25 for each defendant, that is just an amazingly low figure. Our guest here today, Jim Fisher, chair of the Michigan Indigent Defense Commission. We're talking about the commission's recently released standards for public defense systems in the state. We're also joined by Executive Director Jonathan Sachs. Jonathan, I wonder if you might give us an example or two of how the system is failing poor people who are accused of crimes. What does this look like on an individual level on the ground?
Sure. I would say the biggest and most devastating examples is we've seen convictions of actually innocent people in Michigan. There have been over 60 in the state that are documented. One example that I saw when I was at the state appellate defender office, and this isn't one of the cases where someone spent decades in prison, but it's a good example. I worked with a lawyer, and we had a client named Carol Wilson, and she was accused of forging a friend's check and writing it to herself for doing some work. And it turned out she was paid for work she had done by that friend, and they had a falling out. And the attorney, because of the culture that he was in and he didn't know how to go about doing it, and because of his lack of training, didn't ask for a handwriting expert to analyze that check. Mm. And we were able to show, a handwriting expert was able to show, that actually her friend wrote the check and not her, and it was a clear case where she just didn't do it.
Mm. Did she spend time in jail?
So she was arraigned. She was arrested. Ultimately, she got probation. And so this is one where her life, she didn't actually spend time in jail, but her life had been falling apart around her. Mm. And then we have other cases where people have spent decades in prison. One man, Walter Swift, was wrongly convicted for decades for sexual assault. The Thomas Cooley Innocence Project showed it was a DNA exoneration. And had there been more scientific evidence presented and more investigation in the early stages, he may never have been convicted. And it was a fault of improper preparation and investigation by his defense counsel.
Jim, the commission's recommendations focus on four issues, the first of which is the education and training of public defense lawyers, which Jonathan just alluded to. Talk to us about what these recommendations would change.
Actually, the first set of standards to be released will probably have their largest impact in the district courts, which handle the less serious crimes, misdemeanor cases. It's a problem across the country with people being unrepresented in these rather minor types of criminal offenses. The Wall Street Journal had an extensive article about it several months ago, and in fact talked with Judge Tom Boyd, who's one of your local judges there in Ingham County. He sits in Mason in the district court there. So. The fact of the matter is a lot of these district courts just aren't complying with the U.S. Supreme Court mandate that people have a lawyer made available to them early in the process when they are charged with a crime. And we don't have the resources currently to do that. That's going to probably be the biggest change out of this first set of standards. Later on, probably in the next year, we'll be addressing a couple of other issues, which is the overall rate of compensation and the role of judges in terms of selecting lawyers who provide these services. We want the recommendation from the American Bar Association is that the system be independent of the judiciary so that there aren't any abuses arising from that.
Well, is it safe to say then that there's an abundance of younger, less experienced attorneys who do these kinds of cases?
I would say yes. Generally what happens.
Jonathan, you
do have some very experienced lawyers who have an interest in criminal law and who provide these services because that's, you know, where their passion lies, but generally speaking, you are correct.
Jonathan, two of the other issues the commission has issued recommendations on deal with when and where an attorney is meeting with their client. What changes are you suggesting there, and why are they needed?
Well, we've seen too many situations where somebody is arrested, where they are imprisoned, that they're facing the loss of liberty for potentially many years, and they have no idea what is happening to them. And they may not see their lawyer for the first time until they go to a crowded courtroom and they're in a what's known as a bullpen, a holding cell with a lot of other folks there facing charges. And the lawyer will say, okay, we're going to court today. Here's what's going to happen. We wanted to make sure that an initial interview, especially with a client in custody, took place within 3 business days of when somebody was appointed to represent a client who could not afford their own attorneys, and that it took place in a confidential setting. That way, if there is, it's an opportunity for an attorney and a client to talk immediately about the process. If there is an investigation that needs to get done, that can get started right away. And it just leads to much, much better representation and much better outcomes for somebody facing charges.
Jim, your final recommendations involve the ability of public defenders to conduct independent investigations and call expert witnesses to the stand. Talk to us about what needs to change on that front.
That's going to be a real difficult area, and that's an area where there simply haven't been adequate resources in the system in the past. I would say more so in terms of the investigatory resources are probably more important than expert witnesses in many cases, and I think what we're going to be doing is looking at possible innovations in terms of sharing resources across counties and on a regional basis, maybe even on a statewide basis. But we're trying to come up with solutions that involve more than just spending additional dollars. We'd like to see the taxpayers get a better value for their dollar.
We are talking with Jim Fisher, chair of the Michigan Indigent Defense Commission. We're talking about the commission's recently released standards for public defense systems in Michigan. We're also joined by Executive Director Jonathan Sachs. I'd like to hear from both of you briefly on one point. These standards are coming from the state, but they're going to have to be implemented by individual counties. How will this process play out, Jonathan Sachs, and how will these changes be funded?
So the big change here is that the state needs to put in their commitment to indigent defense. So it means that although the counties are going to need to make changes in these system, in their systems to meet both these standards and future standards, the state is going to pay for these changes. So once there is that funding commitment made and our legislation guarantees that that funding commitment is there, then counties can do a number of things. That can range from the sort of smallest steps to, okay, we're going to, our system now, it's not perfect, but as long as we make sure there's proper training and education, proper expert investigative resources, we can make those changes to some places that'll have very larger steps. And they will say, you know what? What we need to do here is we need to implement a public defender system that's funded by our county. And maybe that's the best way to meet indigent defense rather than attorneys who are receiving contracts where we may reward the lowest bidder, for example. Instead, we set up something that's a bit like a prosecutor's office, except it represents poor people charged with crimes.
Jim Fisher, we've got less than a minute, but talk to us about the future as you see it and what's going to make this project a success?
Well, as I see it, the financing from the state is going to be the largest hurdle we face. We are going about this methodically and taking a practical viewpoint. We're going to try to build the case, collect the data, develop the evidence to demonstrate to the legislature that we have this need, that it's a pressing need, and that's something that they that they should be funding in the future. And so that'll be the acid test. Will the legislature step up to the plate and devote the resources to the system that it deserves and needs?
We've been talking about the important work of the Michigan Indigent Defense Commission with Jim Fisher, the chair, And we've also been joined today by Executive Director Jonathan Sachs. Earlier this month, the commission released its second draft of standards, updated stricter state standards for indigent defense in Michigan. Jonathan, Jim, thank you and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.